Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Oh, hi, my name is Rhiannon Leo Jamison, and I'm with the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, and I'm Margaret Hask. I'm with the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
So we've been asked to talk about what's happening nationally with funding in libraries.
Right. So what have you experienced in New York State?
Well, for New York, it's I don't know how it works in Connecticut. I know there's been some developments. I feel like we should caveat that this is accurate as far as we know it to be
right.
The day we're talking about it. It
right.
might change by the time you hear it.
Right.
But through federally, it's our state library that's funded, or New York State Division of Library Development, technically, is 100% funded federally.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So they are like our oversight for our libraries in New York. They direct our state aid to our system. They help fund things like Novel, which is a database of magazines and different things for patrons to use in New York State. They run the construction program. They fund our state central library services, which is ebooks, audiobooks, language learning software, job help. So we don't really receive direct funding through federally. It certainly will feel its loss.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you heard anything from the state about how they think they're going to handle this funding cut?
I have not.
Yeah, well, we haven't heard either in Connecticut.
It's been a little scary. It's a big wait and see. It's certainly the topic of conversation that we're hearing about from every library meeting. It's certainly the topic of conversation. Yeah, I could keep going on all the different things that it's involved. It ends up going library construction aid. It's another one. So in New York, libraries are able to apply for grants through the state to help pay for their construction. So many, many, many new libraries in their area were partially funded by this grant. It ends up being $45 million, I believe. So it's a huge amount of money. And many, like, rural libraries, and probably some larger libraries too, like, this is, if it wasn't for this, they may not be able to ever get there to expand their services because it's humongous help.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're a big state. That's a big difference between New York State and Connecticut. We're so much smaller. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of libraries affected.
Yes. And, you know, going into the state libraries, especially research library and special collections, so assisting historic institutions. Oh, gosh, I have such a long list, I can tell you.
Right,
inviting
right.
experts
yeah.
to digitization,
well, the library did so much.
Summer reading, like every aspect of library services will be touched, not necessarily directly, but indirectly.
And was New York State's funding cut 100%?
Not like Connecticut yet.
Yeah.
Last I heard, it was only three states, and we were not one of them.
Right. Well, and we are one of them. So
mm-hmm.
the services that you're describing that will be cut, this executive order, it's about the same in Connecticut. You know, libraries function in a pretty similar way from state to state. And our funding was cut. The Connecticut, California, Washington State were cut 100%. And so we're kind of still reeling from that and trying to figure out what's going to happen. In terms of how this library, the Cornwall Library, functions, we don't actually get any money from the state. but we do use a lot of their services. And the one that I think people will feel the most is the interlibrary loan system. Because as a small library, we have a nice collection. We have, 30,000 books in the library, and we have two sources of electronic material as well. A lot of people really prefer the actual book. They want a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always say, well, in Connecticut, we can get almost any book that's available in a library in Connecticut, we can get for you. And they have these little vans running around, and the books are taken from one library and delivered to another. It's a wonderful system that's been in place for a long time. And that is going to hurt. If that gets cut, that's going to hurt a lot, because we really count on being able to borrow books from the larger libraries that have, more extensive collections than what we have. Mm-hmm. And that will suffer, I think. I don't know how we're going to get around that. And then the other program that is important to this, our library and other libraries in the area, is a digital navigation project, which I believe has already been funded. And that program, which we were going to put in a grant application for, funds a person who's very skilled technically to be in locations on a regular basis, be in libraries or other locations that we identify, so that people can come to them with their phones or their tablets or whatever they have and say, why isn't this working? What do I have to do? And that person will help them access the internet. And that's so important because, you can't apply for a job. You can't, there's telehealth issues. There are so many things that you must have the internet for. And, mm-hmm. And some people don't have the skills or the equipment. And so the library is going to provide that. I don't know if that's going to go through or not at this point. It may get cut. I don't know. Decisions are going to have to be made, and I won't be the one making them. We'll see. I really trust Connecticut State Library. They do great things, but it might really hurt.
Yeah, it's the side of libraries that most of the public will never know about because it works. And you only hear about it and you're only going to notice it when it doesn't.
Right.
And
right.
It's going to be very, it's just the impact. I can't even fathom what the impact will be. Like, I know it on paper. I know we can tell our patrons and what's going to happen. But those are words, and you won't necessarily even... it's the experiencing of it that's going to be shocking to people. Like, oh, you told me this is what happens. This is what happens if we lose this. This is what happens with funding if this happens. But I'm expecting to hear people say, oh, I didn't realize. Like, yeah, of course, because it worked. It works smoothly. It works well. Libraries are efficient. And when you take away a piece of that puzzle, it could fall apart.
And some libraries really count on these services more than we do at the Cornwall Library. Those mm-hmm. are the two that I mentioned. But some libraries have all kinds of programs going on that are funded. And, it's just going to be really painful. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. I should say, if anyone listening or our patrons or anyone just in general, if you feel strongly about this, call your representatives. If you're not sure who those representatives are, come to your local library and they will help you identify them. But it does make a difference. And call and let them know, because they have to be elected. If they're going to do something that's going to make their constituents mad, they're going to try to stop it. But if they don't hear anything, there's no way for them to know.
Right. So we did write a letter. The library directors in the Northwest Corner did write a letter to the mm-hmm. editor of the Lakeville Journal, and it was published in full. And it's really talking about this decision and how it's going to impact libraries in Connecticut. So I hope that was helpful. It was good to get it out there anyway.
And, you know, if anyone's curious about how, I mean, feel free to come into the Middleton Library. I'll happily talk with you about how our funding is used and where it goes to. We would love our patrons to be more curious.
Right. I know. Well, you're kind of taken for granted, but as you said, when you're an efficient operation, of course people take you for granted. They expect the lights to be on. They expect the heat to be on. They expect the books to be there when you say they're going to be there. You know, to have all that interrupted is going to be shocking to people.
I can't remember the exact ratio, and I'm going to say close. There was a statistic going around a couple of years ago that tells you every dollar put into libraries is like you put in 12, because we're just that good.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Because that $1 can go so far, because we have the infrastructure. We have the experience to help people, and...
I think that's what's become important in libraries, is being a service organization, which I don't know that was the real clear identity of libraries up until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe more than that, where we started really providing services to the community. You know, like we have a summer camp, 2 weeks of summer camp, at a very inexpensive price. You know, for some of our kids in town, and it's a big help to parents to know that for those 2 weeks of the summer, the kids will be in a great local place, and it won't break the bank. You know, that's a wonderful service that we provide, and libraries do so many things like that.
Yeah, and that's probably the one thing that we're the worst at, is telling people what we do.
Right.
'Cause of course they know.
Well, people are surprised, and even sometimes my board is surprised when I'll bring something up, and they'll say, "Oh, you do that?" And like, yeah, we do that, you know. And there's a certain amount of just casual things that we do too that isn't on any list anywhere, but we're frequently asked to proofread a letter or, you know, something like that. And of course, we do that for, you know, whoever needs it. So I guess it's just we'll wait and see what's decided and how this affects everybody.
Yeah. We're approaching summer season, and it's our busiest time. So I hope that everyone who hears it or comes to our libraries during the summer will speak up and speak out to their state representatives and their federal representatives and just let them know. You don't have to, know specifics about what's happening. You just have to be able to tell them, this is what's important to me.
Good point. Yeah. Excellent. Well, speaking of summer and what's coming up, do you have any fun events coming up in the next few weeks?
Actually, on May 13th at 5:30, we actually have Ed Thorney from the Institute of Wilderness and Community, I feel like this topic is very timely, about communicating in an overwhelming world.
Right. I'm actually talking with him, too, about having a conversation here at the Cornwall Library. It does seem very timely.
He's wonderful. this is, I think, the second time we've had him come to do a talk like this, just teaching people how to have conversations with people who may not necessarily agree with you, and how to listen. Because sometimes, so often, you're passionate about the topic you're talking about and don't necessarily really hear what the person is saying to you. And then on May 10th, we have the ever-popular Joint Chiefs playing a concert in our attic. We're encouraging people to RSVP so we can hold your seats about 15 minutes before the concert starts, because the response was so overwhelming last time they came that we actually had to turn people away.
Oh,
and we don't want to do that.
No,
so,
you don't want to do that again, but great.
Yeah. So it should be a very fun night.
So we have a few things coming up. We have an art opening Saturday, the 19th of April, and then we're having a Earth Day program on Tuesday. At noon, we're talking about the book Sacred Nature. And then we have, because it's Poetry Month, we have an acclaimed poet, Phyllis Levin, reading from her latest book on the 26th. And then she's doing a workshop on Sunday, the 27th. And then going into May, we have a program on Cornwall apples, where a person has spliced an ancient tree into other trees to sort of reestablish an ancient apple from Cornwall. And he's going to talk about that process, and they're going to talk about the history of cider and apples in Cornwall. And they have 30 of these trees with these apples on them available for sale, and that's a fundraiser for the library. So that's really super. And then
really neat.
I think it's going to be fantastic. And then we have, I'm looking at my list here, and then we have our annual book sale on Memorial Day weekend, which is a lot of fun. And it kind of, it's a nice sort of opening to the summer, you know, to have this nice book sale at the library. You pick up everything you want to read over the summer.
That's when our book sale starts as well. We have a little sale room in our annex that's open on the weekend.
Oh, wonderful.
That's the official start of summer. Technically probably summer reading, but now it's when the book sales start.
right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think that might be the end of our time.
I think it is the end of our time. Nice talking to you.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.